Hello, I'm Alexia, and this is episode 8 of Reclaiming Creativity, the podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids. Today's interview is with Amanda Farrow, mom of two beautiful littles under the age of 2. She's also the founder and creative director at Violet Minded Media, a digital artisan collective. Amanda and her cohorts create beautiful digital spaces for brilliant entrepreneurs. In the interview, we talk a bit about creative cohorts and collecting your own band of collaborators. What was your creative life like before kids?
My creative life before kids was entirely unfocused. Sort of flitted from thing to thing. I don't know. I enjoyed writing, so I would write for a day, or I would design a website here and there. Sometimes I get paid for it. But it was just generally really unfocused. I just did a lot of different things in a lot of different ways and didn't really worry about too much at all. There wasn't just a whole lot to worry about. So just ran around and created stuff.
Mm-hmm. Finding that focus is a byproduct of having children.
Yeah. I think the catalyst for me was getting pregnant. Both times, actually, the catalyst for me fixing things in my business and in my in the way that I approach my creative process. They were both definitely the catalyst for unscrewing that up.
Mm-hmm.
I think after I got pregnant with my son, I started to become really clear on what it was that I needed to do in order to be successful in my creative process, which was really mangled at the time. It had no real steps. Because before then it was like, oh, inspiration has struck. Now I can create a website, you know, and it was very elusive. And then when I got pregnant with Gabriel, it was me sitting down and actually hammering out what my process looks like when I'm writing or when I'm creating a website or when I am, you know, podcasting, believe it or not, because I did a lot of that back in 2010. So, yeah, I was very unfocused before I had children. Very.
That's a running theme so far.
I love that, right? Everyone's like, la, 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 life is great. Then you have kids and you're like, wait a second.
What is this thing called focus? Oh, wait, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, that elusive thing that you're supposed to get when you grow up and have a real adult life? No, children? Wait, maybe?
You said a little bit about gaining more focus. And is there anything else that changed for you with regards to your creative output or expression?
I think that once I had that focus, I put a lot of structure in place. See, I always thought that if you're a creative, you don't need structure at all. Structure is the devil to creativity. I learned very quickly that's not the case. Nope, I need deadlines. I need structure. I need to be able to push against something in order to get anything done. Otherwise, it just ends up being a loop of crazy and not being able to get anything done. Mm-hmm. In terms of the output itself, it really changed after I got pregnant with my daughter, and she's now 5 months old. So when I had her, my output really reduced, like really, really reduced. Like with Gabriel, it was just me and him, right? So we could just play off of each other. You know, I'd work when he slept, and it was fairly easy to predict when he was going to go to bed because I had him on a schedule. But now that I have another one, you know, it's really hard to get anything done because mm-hmm. you're constantly bouncing in between the two babies and making sure that they're okay. And then once everything's ready to go, then you can go out and you can create something. But that's in terms of my business, that's a good thing because then my team gets more work done. But for me, I know that I'm creating less websites, but I'm writing more. It's very interesting.
Why do you think that you're writing more?
for me, I think writing is one of those pursuits where I don't necessarily need a whole lot of time in order to sit down and just write something. I can just sit down and write something in probably an hour,
mm-hmm.
maybe less in some cases. Whereas with a website, if I have to sit down and create a website from start to finish, it takes me 4 or 5 hours just in Photoshop.
Right.
Just to get things, you know, get things structured and figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So when I don't have that block of time, because I usually take that time when my husband is home with the children, I tend to find that it's easier to write because I can just write a little bit, make a note of where I'm going to stop. Then I can go tend to the kids, come back, write a little bit more. You know, it's easy to pick up and put down. Design, not so easy to pick up and put down.
Right, right. I've been following you for a little while, and I've noticed that, especially on your blog, when you mentioned that you now have a team, I'm sure that having this second child was the shove in that direction.
was.
Tell me a little bit about that process. What helped you realize and actually start forming your team?
Well, it was interesting because the beginning of 2012, before I got pregnant with Vivian, I sort of started putting my feelers out there and looking around for a developer. And I'm like, I don't really have time to code anymore. And I mean, I love code. I come from a background of computer science. So, you know, it's in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely love it. But I didn't have time for it anymore because I was trying to do everything else associated with running a business. So I put my feelers out there and I found a developer that I've been working with now for almost a year and a half. And she was really the starting point, the foundation of building a team. And how Violent Minded really differentiates itself from any other creative agency is that everyone in the agency has their own business. You know, they're not coming to me just as freelancers and they're just looking for work. You know, we're deeply collaborating on projects together. And I mean, we haven't really worked all the kinks out yet because mm-hmm. it's still relatively new. But that's something that I really love about the collective is that we're just a bunch of really cool people and we're making cool stuff on the internet and working with excellent clients. So how that sort of came together was out of this need of, okay, well, I have all these people I want to help, but I can't help them all, but they still want to work with me. So I did a lot of soul searching and, you know, I talked with my business advisor, Tara Gentile, and she's like, well, listen, what are you really good at? Like, I'm really good at bossing people around. And she's like, okay, Amanda, well, we can't really frame it like that. I'm like, no, 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 but really, I'm really good at, like, telling people, you know, what to do next and finding problems and assigning people to solve the problems, but in a really, you know, really lovely way. I'm not the kind of person to, you know, like, yell at people until they do something, unless it's my son. In which case, sometimes you can't help yourself. You just kind of just have to yell until it gets done. There, out there for the internet to hear. Sometimes I'm not a great mother, but that's okay. So yeah, that was the whole reason why I started up the collective, is because I really wanted to continue to help people, but I was running out of time and resources to help everyone I wanted to help. So moving into the creative director role and doing some design here and there really frees me up to work more deeply with our perfect people, which is really beautiful.
No, that sounds great. Could you speak a little bit more to the importance of creative cohorts or collaborators?
Oh man, you cannot survive without creative collaborators. I don't know how people think that they can exist in like a creative vacuum. You can't. It's not even possible. I mean, we all have our influencers. I mean, early with Violent Mind, you know, my biggest influencers were Sarah Bray and Naomi Niles. You know, I talk about them a lot. And Naomi's my sort of unofficial design mentor.
Mm-hmm.
She's been so integral to my growth as a designer. And you know, I wrote about this a little bit on Violent Minded and how it's really important to fall madly in love with your competition and find ways to collaborate with them instead of feeling this scarcity issue, this scarcity mindset of there's not enough for me, therefore I'm going to just shove them away and not talk to them at all. But your work is going to suffer for it because you're not having other creative eyes on your work
mm-hmm.
and you're not necessarily bouncing ideas off of anybody. So it's going to get stale really quickly. I find that the best part of having creative collaboration and cohorts is that they call me on the stuff that I'm doing wrong. They really do. They're like, listen, that's totally derivative. What are you doing? You were better than this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I did not see that. Okay, well, we don't want that. That's bad. So that, yeah, that's really the important thing about having a creative collaborator. It's not necessarily a creative team, although I do believe that having a team is really important when you're a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because your work cannot exist inside of a vacuum and because there are only so many hours in a day.
Of course.
To get everything done. And even more so as moms, am I right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's the importance of creative collaboration. I could talk about creative collaboration all day, though. So we should talk about that again.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good. I did read your article a bit, and I need to go back to read it a little bit deeper, but some good stuff there. Now, you mentioned something about scarcity and creativity. For me, I know that the more I create, the more there is to create.
Mm-hmm.
And the more creativity kind of flows out.
Heck yeah.
Is there anything you do, like a creative practice, to cultivate that?
Well, one of the most important things that I need when I'm actually getting into creative mode is I need things to be organized mm-hmm. around me. No chaos. I can't do creative chaos. I have mad respect for people that can just exist in chaos and still create things, because I can't. So I have to go around, I got to pick things up, got to put stuff away, make sure everything's clean, and then I can, my OCD can relax a bit. I mean, did I just say that on the internet again? Damn
I
it.
Think you did.
Damn it. Now everybody knows that about me. It's fine. So once I can relax, you know, I tend to find that if I tackle the most interesting thing on my creative to-do list, then the creativity just keeps coming. So if I do something small, it'll snowball into something bigger and bigger and bigger. And then before you know it, I've written an ebook. And I'm like, oh, so that happened in an afternoon. Okay. How?
Yeah, I think that's really cool. It's definitely the getting started piece of it is super important. I know a lot of creative folks and a lot of business folks who just can't get started on things, and they're just thinking and thinking and thinking and writing lists and lists, and like, well, just, you know, stop complaining about not getting anything done.
Just
sit your butt down and do it.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what, it's funny because that getting started piece can be the most daunting.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a little bit. So if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I've got all these things I need to do. They've got all of these different steps that need to happen before I launch, or before I write this, or before I do this or that or this. If you just sit down and you do something small in regards to that project, you'd be surprised how quickly that snowballs into something bigger and bigger and bigger within that project. And then potentially creating sub-projects or side projects here and there, or you find juicy collaborations along the line, which is what I'm finding more and more of. That the more creative I am, the more I can make room for collaboration within that creativity,
mm-hmm.
which is really important.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back a little bit more to the collaboration part of it. One of my goals this year is to collect some cohorts.
Ooh.
And
in a collective, you might say?
Possibly.
Yeah, I like it. I'd like to start a collective movement.
So talk to me a little bit about how to go about that. How would you do it?
I'll tell you how I did do it.
Okay, go for it.
I'll tell you all about how I did do it, because I'm all about transparency, and I don't think there should be, it's not like it's a trade secret, it's just relationship building, people. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on. I think that what I did is I reached out over the last, you know, Violet Mind has been around since the tail end of 2009. I've been reaching out for 4 years and talking to people and cultivating relationships and finding people that I really jive with. And that's really how I ended up forming my team in the beginning, where I found my logistics commander, Mana. You know, she came on board because of a mutual love of video games. And then I found out that she knows a bunch of stuff online, and she was a community manager. And I was like, what? Oh, you should totally come work with me. And she's like, well, I've got school. And I'm like, you don't need to work for me. No, there's no working for. Mm-hmm. You work with me. You work the hours that you can work. I've got stuff I need you to do. Let me know if you can do it or not. And we'll go from there. And from there, it created these beautiful ripples. It was a beautiful ripple effect. Is once I brought somebody on board, it was easier and easier to start working with more and more people, because you really have to let go of your control issues. Because I know that as small business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, we're control freaks. Mm-hmm. Let's be real here.
Just put
it all out on the table. You know, we're definitely control freaks, which is why we suck at being employees.
Uh-huh.
So once you can sort of put that aside and just make peace with the fact that, you know what, you're not always going to be in control, it's much easier to collect people together and to say, hey, let's work on these really cool projects together. And I think that the most important piece of that is learning to be a leader, not a boss, but a leader. Because mm-hmm. a leader is down in the trenches with the team and being like, yeah, we can do this, guys. Whereas a boss is just sort of hanging out up top and being like, you do it. You know? So yeah. Leading by example and mutual encouragement and mutual love, really. Because, I mean, everyone in the collective, because they have their own businesses, they're not beholden to me. They're not mm-hmm. beholden to Violet Minded at all. And I like that. We're bound together because we really enjoy each other's company, because we work well together, and because we're all really encouraging of one another. I mean, if you could see the Facebook group, the Digital Artisan Collective Facebook group, I mean, it's love. There is love all over the place. Somebody's got a problem, they post it, and we're like, ah, there, solved, done. Ah, collective is beautiful. So when you're going out and you're talking to people and collecting your creative cohorts, finding similar and dissimilar people is really important. Like one of my friends and my business soulmate, really, Ilana Burke, I mean, she's totally different from me, mm-hmm. like totally. And we're competition, but you know, it works really well together. You know, she's the bad cop to my good cop. And we talked about that in our last meeting. But that's really important, too. And I wouldn't necessarily have ever connected with Ilana outside of the internet, because she is so different from me, because her personality is so different.
Mm-hmm.
But she calls me on a lot of my problems in my business. And she's very open about being like, listen, you're breaking it. You're changing things for the sake of changing things. Stop it. So yeah, when you're collecting people, collect people that you really like working with and that really love working with you.
That's good stuff. What is your biggest challenge right now with keeping the creative juices flowing and producing your work?
I am so tired all the time. And when you're tired, you're dumb. Like uh-huh. really dumb. Like not just a little dumb, but like all the dumb ever. So when you're all the dumb ever, it's really hard to make stuff that makes sense.
Of course.
Right? So your creative input is obviously going to be really affected by the rest that you're getting. And as a mom to two children under two, it can be exceptionally difficult to get a good night's sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So that to me is the biggest challenge right now, is when I don't get enough sleep, I'm really stupid.
Oh boy. How are you trying to get that sleep that you need?
By handing the children off to my husband and going for naps. I know everybody says, oh, nap when the babies nap, and you know, make sure that you're resting a lot. It's like, seriously, who has time for that? Ain't nobody get time to rest when the babies rest. There's cleaning to be done. There is businesses to be created and burned to the ground and websites to build and stuff to write. It's always something to do.
Oh, absolutely.
But what I've found to be really effective is I go to bed a lot earlier. I feel like an old lady, because my parents, they go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning and they wake up at 7.
Oh,
they're
my crazy. God.
They're amazing. Because they don't need a lot of sleep anymore, apparently. I don't know. I can't stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning anymore. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a zombie. And my dad's over in the corner right now, and he's probably frowning to himself playing Star Trek Online. But it's totally true. Like, I can't stay up late anymore. I can't, because I have to be up at 7 o'clock in the morning. every day, at least some days earlier. So going to bed early has been really great. I kind of feel super old doing it, but my body is thanking me.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sometimes I'm pretty much toast at about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh, me too.
Yeah, so the little guy goes to sleep at 7:38, and I'm kind of muddling my way through doing the last couple of things before bed, but yeah, sometimes I even fall asleep about the same time he does.
Some days you just have to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Some days you totally just have to. And it's interesting too, because I used to be such a night owl. I would be up until all hours of the night and being like, yeah, I'm super creative at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, why am I not sleeping?
Oh my gosh, me too. I'm a total night owl. Was it being the operative word here. My husband still pretends he is.
And then, yeah, mine too.
And then complains that he's tired. I'm like, well, duh, you went to sleep at 4.
Yeah, and then you woke up 3 hours later to go to work. Genius, brilliant idea.
I know.
2 thumbs way up. Too much StarCraft. Just saying.
Oh, man. My husband's drug of choice at the moment is genealogy.
Mm.
Yeah, so he can get lost.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. That's another creative pursuit. You're poking around. You're researching. I mean, it's like when you go on a Wikipedia binge. I don't know if you've ever done this before. Yeah, you get lost in Wikipedia for hours and hours. You're like, oh, my God, that's fascinating. Oh, that's fascinating. I wonder if this is real. I'm going to go check sources. Then you just get lost there for 4 hours. Some people go on YouTube binges. I go on Wikipedia binges. It's a problem.
Well, I think it's a quality of the creative mind.
Right? Constantly learning and making connections and being like, that's fascinating.
Need more input.
Yeah, need more knowledge. Feed me with knowledge. I actually have a book bag that says, feed me with books.
Oh, awesome.
It's great. Anyway, what are we talking about again?
I have no clue, but I have a couple of questions left on my list, so we'll just go through a couple of those and see where it happens.
Sounds good.
So, if you were to go back in time when you were pregnant with your very first child and give yourself one piece of advice regarding your creative life after kids, what would you say?
Learn to time block effectively. Seriously. Without time blocking, because I mean, I work in the morning when my kids are just sort of waking up, and you know, I'm guilty as a parent of just putting Netflix on sometimes and be like, all right, I gotta work for a bit, guys. Here's the cereal. Do your thing. So time blocking is really important, though, is making sure that you're putting aside focused blocks of time where you just get stuff done. Because if you don't have those focused blocks of time, then you're just gonna end up meandering, and then you'll spend all your time on Facebook because everyone's sharing really interesting stuff, and then you'll be clicking links, and you'll go on a Wikipedia binge. And then no one will be able to save you, because then you'll end up on YouTube watching cat videos. I mean, there's no saving that. There's no saving that at all. So when you have really, when you're effectively managing your time in time blocks, it makes your life so much easier. Sarah Bray actually talks about how she only works 90 minutes a day. 90 minutes a day, and she has like 4 websites.
I know, it's insane.
That means she maintains beautifully. She's got 4 babies. You know, the woman is a superhero. She's basically a superhero. I've told her that, and I'm going to tell her that many more times.
Wow.
She's a superhero because she works 90 minutes a day, and she's extremely focused for those 90 minutes a day. She has no distractions. She is really, she's a unitasker. That's where I think a lot of people tend to get muddled up too, is we all feel like we have to be working on these various different things at once. But if we're very focused and we've got our time blocking set up really, really beautifully, then we can get stuff done and then we can move on and do the rest of our day. It's like, oh, well, I'm freed up to enjoy my evening.
That's very interesting. That's really cool. That's definitely something to aspire to.
The 90-minute workday, yeah, it's incredible. I don't have it down to 90 minutes. I still work 3 or 4 hours a day, which still, I mean, if I was working a full-time job, I'd be working 8 hours a day plus commute.
Right.
So I got to say, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there.
I just want to know, what is it that is inspiring you right now?
Oh, what is this? Collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
All the collaboration. Other people really inspire me a lot. My connections with people through the collective, they inspire me all the time. The stuff that they talk about, I'm just like, I didn't even think of that. How is that? See, this is why I work with brilliant people, because they're brilliant everywhere. They make brilliant all over my computer and all over the internet. So they're super inspiring to me. But collaboration, just as a theme, is the most inspiring thing to me in this moment. And I really just want to focus a lot more time and attention to being fully collaborative. Not necessarily worrying about my own baggage and being like, oh my God, what if they don't get stuff done? You know, putting that aside and just really enjoying the process. That's what inspires me, and that's what inspires me to have to continue with this collective. It's a beautiful thing.
I like that. And just to kind of wrap it up a little bit, if you could give new moms out there one piece of advice besides the time blocking, like you said, what would you say?
Don't be so hard on yourself. It's really, really hard to be a parent, like, and to be a parent and to be creative and to own a business and to do it all really well all the time. I mean, it's not possible. It really isn't. So give yourself a break. And I'm really guilty of this. I don't give myself a break nearly as often as I should. I mean, you're on my Facebook. You've seen my woes.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, you're like, really, Amanda, do you follow your own advice? No, I never follow my own advice. I'm terrible for that. But if you were to follow this advice, you'd be so much happier, and I would be so much happier for it as well, is to just give yourself a break, cut yourself some slack. It's hard. Having
totally.
Kids is hard.
Totally.
Really, really hard. So just, you know, revel in the suck for a while. You know, Danielle Laporte talks about it. You got to admit that it sucks, then move on.
Yep. Yep.
Then that's my advice to you. Sometimes it sucks. That's okay. Give yourself a break. And that's okay too.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Amanda, for taking some time out and chatting with me.
Well, it was super fun.
It was.
We should have more conversations like this.
Absolutely.
Love talking about creativity and collaboration.
So that was Amanda Farrow. If you want to learn more about her, you can check her out at violetminded.com. or amandafarrow.com. I'll put these and the links to all the amazing ladies she mentioned on the show notes at reclaimingcreativity.com. This was episode 8 of Reclaiming Creativity, the podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep breathing. Keep creating.